There's probably no other time of the year so filled with traditions and customs, stories and legends. As a child, our front porch and door were decorated with simple pine branches cut off a local tree and then strung with those large, energy inefficient lights, the colored ones, the good kind. And then canned snow was sprayed over Christmas stencils to decorate the windows. Looked great at Christmas, a pain in the butt to clean after New Year's Day. Our evening meal on Christmas Eve was almost a type of religious ritual. It was called Vigilia, a Polish word for vigil. The best white tablecloth was used, and it was the only fancy-dancy tablecloth we had. Some straw was scattered over the table to remind us of the manger, and an extra set was placed empty just in case an unexpected guest would arrive, perhaps Jesus in disguise. The meal began with the sighting of the first star, and after grace was said, a host-like bread called opłatek was passed and exchanged, sometimes dipped in honey, while folks around table wished each other Merry Christmas and a rich, sweet New Year. Unlike the Italians who served seven fishes, we had seven dishes of some sort, an odd number. Simple, because it was a day of abstinence. Fish, pierogi, beans, beets, simple food. Feasting, family, faith, all interconnected. There are plenty of stories associated with Christmas. There's a Syrian legend about a little camel who's chosen by the baby Jesus to carry gifts from house to all the boys and girls in the village. There's a Ukrainian folktale about a mother spider and her babies who cover a family's Christmas tree with rather unsightly cobwebs. When baby Jesus arrives to bless the tree, he sees the cobwebs, and he wants to make things better. The legend goes that he reaches to the bottom of the tree, and he touches a part of the cobweb, and it turns silver. And then one web extends to the next web, to the next web, to the next web, until the whole tree is glistening in silver, shimmering, the first tinsel. There's even a legend about the herb rosemary, piney, earthy, rich, great roasted with chicken, lamb, and pork. The story goes that Mary had to do laundry. The baby Jesus, though the beloved Son of God, does not keep his diapers clean. And so Mary needed to find a stream of flowing water where she could wash the diaper. And once the diaper is washed, she places it on a rather simple bush. And then once the diaper is dried, she lifts it off the bush, and the white flowers turn blue. And the bush that had no scent now has the piney scent of rosemary. Evangelical theologian J.I. Parker wrote, "The Almighty appeared on earth as a helpless human baby, needing to be fed and changed and taught to walk and to talk like any other child." The more you think about it, the more staggering it gets, he writes. "Nothing in fiction is so fantastic as this truth of the incarnation. We're celebrating something both staggering and fantastic. It's no wonder that field living shepherds are struck with awe, and an army of angels begins to sing. The Almighty God, Wonder Counselor, God Hero, Prince of Peace, was born among us, and he remains among us still. He had cheeks to kiss and a bum to sit on. At the earlier Mass, I asked the children, what was the difference between the doll baby Jesus and a real baby Jesus? And one of the angels raised her hand and said, the real baby has skin. The God we celebrate tonight, folks, has skin. And he who was once wrapped in swaddling clothes grew up and wore the tunic of a teenager and eventually the apron of a carpenter. With hands calloused by labor, he gently blessed children, raised the dead, fed the hungry, touched the untouchable, embraced sinners, and eventually those calloused hands were nailed to the rough wood of a cross. But with staggering and fantastic glory, he was raised from the dead so that we might be raised up in company with him. Now, how staggering and fantastic is that? There's another legend, a medieval legend, about how when Mary and Joseph were fleeing the deadly threats of King Herod, they sought refuge in the home of an elderly woman who was kneading dough to make bread. And while they were appreciating the shelter of the woman's warm cottage, King Herod's soldiers came pounding at the door, demanding to be let in. And that old lady making bread, she picked up the baby Jesus, stuffed him in the dough, poked in a hole so he could breathe. The soldiers stomped in and searched the house. They couldn't find the baby Jesus, covered in dough. The Almighty Christ continues to be present among us, folks, hidden under the appearance of bread and wine, real food and real drink, his body and blood. And our gathering tonight in this place we call home is a gathering of family and friends, strangers and guests. Some will return again and again, and others will not. I invite you to take time to think. The Almighty God is among us now. And at times, even though he's not a baby, he still feels helpless. Because in spite of his love for us, he can't force us to believe in him. He can't force us to embrace him. He can't force us to love him. But he loves us anyway. And if that's the case, at least love and care for one another. That will please God too. If you need to slow down, slow down. If you need to hurry up, hurry up. But most of all, be present and be grateful on this Christmas night for family and friends, for feasting and fun, for camels and spiders, rosemary and dough. Think about it. It's staggering and fantastic. This truth we call the Incarnation, God in the flesh, God with skin.